Welcome. You're listening to Ask the Doulas, a podcast where we talk to experts from all over the country about topics related to pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and early parenting. Let's chat.
Hello, hello. This is Kristen with Ask the Doulas podcast, as well as co-owner of Gold Coast. And I am joined today by David Arle, and I'm so excited. He is the author of Welcome to Fatherhood. He's also an entrepreneur, and he is an educator and father. So welcome, David.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat with you here today.
Yeah, so it was perfect timing. I am teaching a new course with my partner, Alyssa, and it's called Becoming a Mother. And we have all of these women who are engaged in the course and prepping for their pregnancy, their birth, and their postpartum phase. And they had asked me about resources for partners and fathers, and I didn't really have anything to share. And then you popped up in my inbox talking about your new book, Welcome to Fatherhood. And so I wanted to get you on our podcast. You did a video for our course, which I'm so appreciative about. So please fill us in a bit more on your background, what led you to, you know, first of all, teach the courses and then, you know, get into the long journey of becoming an author and getting a book out into the world.
Sure. Thank you. I think one of the things that I learned when speaking with a lot of the other expectant dads out there and their partners as well, is there are some good resources out there for us guys, but a lot of them just aren't as clear or direct as I appreciate and as some of the fellow guys I would speak with it would appreciate. There's some great learning materials out there, but they kind of tend to drift towards the encyclopedic, like this is everything you could possibly want to know, which is great for people who have those deeper curiosities. But as far as I have some questions, I really want to be a helpful, supportive partner, but I don't really know what that looks like and what can I specifically do to better connect with my partner on her journey and also better prepare for what's coming up. So as an expectant dad for our first pregnancy, I was very energetically committed to being that helpful and supportive partner. But as I was trying different things and learning different things, I found looking back in hindsight that there were a lot of things I missed or opportunities I just didn't fully appreciate because I didn't quite understand sort of what was at stake or how important something was.
Sure.
And so those are the kind of things I wanted to investigate more and kind of get a better sense of myself.
Okay, great. And so as you're investigating, did you always think you wanted to write a book, or was teaching classes to fathers like the top priority? Like, I'm interested to hear about that specific journey.
No, I think honestly, a lot of the energy for me that came that I was able to marshal to getting first the workshop series and then the book was born out of a combination of excitement on wanting to help other expectant dads who really wanted to be as helpful and supportive as they could, but also my own frustration with going through that process on my own and really feeling like there wasn't nearly enough good information out there and also good direction for us dads. Like, there are so many times I've felt frustrated where I eventually sort of discovered something and then I was annoyed that it wasn't just clearly presented to me right off the bat in any of the six books I looked through or the classes I took. And I was like, well, this seems really obvious. Why didn't anybody tell me, as like an eager dad to be who wanted to be a great teammate for my partner, why wasn't this something that was told to me on day one? And I had to kind of like figure it out. And then going back and looking through the materials, you know, most of the things I kind of touch upon either weren't mentioned at all or were just sort of glossed over. And it's like, no, this is a big deal. Like, I wish somebody had grabbed me by the shoulder and be like, hey, this is important. You need to understand this. And I'm like, oh, good. Thank you. Rather than burying it on page 7 in the middle of a paragraph and then moving on to something else. So it was a combination of wanting to be a helpful contributor to the conversation and then also a little bit of frustration on having not received as much helpful information or input from the larger birth spaces I felt I really should have as a guy who really wanted to be there for my partner.
Yeah, that makes sense. And obviously you could get a lot of questions and test things out for the book with these live workshops. So you're talking to dads directly and they're asking you questions. So what a great way to, you know, begin the book project.
Yeah, the workshops were a lot of fun. I had some great, you know, we all have our own experiences and we all learn from those. But having those workshops where there were other guys coming in with their own experiences, their own questions, I was able to kind of get a better sense of what was not only important to me, but important to some of these other guys. And then also, I got a lot of great questions about things that just didn't occur to me, again, you know, that weren't also mentioned in some of these other resources for dads. So the workshop was definitely an evolving format. I found that initially I was very earnest. And while that is important, I needed to bring a little bit more humor in there and a little bit more of like an ice-breaking element. Because a lot of us guys, we have these uncertainties and we're feeling a little bit vulnerable. We have questions or we know we don't know what we, you know, quote unquote, should be doing, but we don't even know what the right question to ask is. So that's something that really became a part of the forefront of the workshop. And then the book also is balancing out that sort of like sincere, earnest, like, hey man, this is important, but also having some fun with it and some jokes without it getting too bro-y and becoming just another beers and boobs, you know, kind of book type thing. So
right.
Trying to find the balance of like, no, you know, sincere and this is important, but yet also bring some of that humor in too.
Yeah, I loved it. It was easy to read and a lot of fun. And I know when I'm a planner by nature, it sounds like your wife is as well. So I, with both of my pregnancies, took all of the classes, read the books, you know, watched documentaries, watched birthing videos. And so, and my husband is more of a go with the flow kind of guy, but he wanted to support me. And I remember him like falling asleep as we're reading, like, some of like husband coach birthing and birth partner and some of the books. And he was so bored at the end of the day as I'm trying to do all this preparation. So he would have loved a book like that.
Awesome. And you know, what you're speaking to there is that, and this might be a good way to kind of jump into one of the first things that I talk about is that for a lot of us guys, obviously our partner is pregnant and you know, they're having their own experience of that. But for us, it's sort of this, it's not an abstract thing because we know it's real that they're pregnant, but this idea of what does that mean and when is the baby coming? Like, you know, I remember a funny story. My wife got me a Father's Day card during our first, when she was pregnant with our first baby. And I was so perplexed. I'm like, well, I'm not a dad yet. Like this is, you know, you wouldn't give me a graduation card before I graduated. Like that's the same kind of thinking. And you know, what's important is that it's true for us guys, but our pregnant partners are having very different experiences. They're a mom. Soon as that positive pregnancy test like registers, for most of the mamas out there right away, like, oh, I'm a mom. My baby is growing inside of me right now. And that's very real for them in that moment. Where us guys are sort of hanging out on the sideline thinking we'll be a dad when the baby gets here. So that's dad, you know, that's the big idea. Number one, we can circle back to the concept or the structure, but right away, big idea. Number one is what I call instant mama, which is, hey guys, check this out. Your pregnant partner is a mom now and everything about that's very real for her. She's watching her food intake with vitamins and avoiding sushi, specific what to eat, what not to eat. She's right. Thinking about all of these things. And a lot of the guys are like that. Yeah, I get it a little bit, but they don't quite understand all the implications of what that also means. And that's that first thing I want to tell the guys as soon as they open up the book is right away, understand that this is real for her. And while you have your own truth that's real for you, that bridge building of better connecting really falls to you to reach across the relationship and really understand and appreciate that that's really what's going on for her.
Yeah. And I love that you give so many ways to support your partner and wife during pregnancy and even using the code words for different situations in pregnancy or at the birth was a really great tip for dads.
Yeah, the code words are one of my favorite ones. This one, I get a lot of, I've gotten some really good emails from people who have tried it. So that's dad tip number 14, which is code words are key. By code words, I mean that you and your partner figure out a simple word that communicates whether a situation is a green light situation, which is everything is good, we're fine, let's keep going. Whether it's a yellow light situation, which is, okay, let's pause and maybe revisit what the plan is. Or whether it's a red light situation, which is we need to stop now or do something different. We used avocado for green, lemon for yellow, and tomato for red for us, because that was kind of easy to fold into a conversation, you know, in a social situation where the people around us weren't necessarily aware that we were having like a second tier meta conversation. So, you know, be like, oh, right. Do we need to add avocados to the grocery list? Which is my way of saying, is this green? Are we still good here? Is this okay? And, you know, Jen would reply, yeah, avocados sound good, but maybe we want to think about adding some lemons also, which is okay. We're good, but maybe we need to maybe shorten the plan. I mentioned a couple anecdotes in the book. One of my favorite ones, was a red light situation we had. You know, we're nearing, you know, quote unquote overdue, in the sense my wife was 40 weeks pregnant in 2 days. So, for those of you who have that date circled on your calendar, that's 2 days past the so-called quote unquote expected due date. So she's ready to have the baby. We joke that she showed early and often. She had a baby bump right off the bat, and loved wearing all the horizontal stripes and like really embracing her pregnancy. But by this point, every time she walked into a room, people would like almost think they had to get ready to catch a baby.
Right.
So we're in line at this little ice cream shop near our house. It's August in Omaha. It's hot. The ice cream shop was popular. So the line is about, you know, 30 people deep. And we get into the line, and we're already both a little dismayed because we were hoping magically there'd be nobody in line. So we get up there, and this lovely older couple walks up behind us. And the lady, without missing a beat, says, "Oh my, I hope you don't have that baby right here." And, you know, I kind of laughed initially because, you know, that was kind of funny. I was like, me too. I don't want to wait 30 minutes and not get any ice cream out of this deal.
Right.
But I looked over at Jen, and I could one look at her face, I could see that the last thing she wanted was to have people talking about her pregnancy and the baby being late, you know, quote unquote, due anytime. And she just wanted her ice cream and not to deal with this. And so I quickly perceived that she was not thinking this was funny also. And so I said, "Hey, babe, there's a bench across the street there in the shade. Do you mind putting together a grocery list? I know we need tomatoes. What else do you think we might need on our list?" And she kind of glared at me at first. And then she realized, oh yeah, tomato, code word, red. She's like, "Oh, that's a fantastic idea. I think I will go wait over there." So she happily went over to the bench across the street. Nobody's talking to her or remarking on her belly or questioning when the baby's due. So she was happy to kind of get out of that social situation. And then I was able to sit there and joke with a couple about baby names and all kinds of stuff where everybody was happy, but just using that code word was easier for us to address that, you know, uncomfortable social situation rather than, you know, trying to have an explicit conversation about it in front of the couple. Now the couple's worried that they accidentally said something. So those code words go a long way. There's lots of ways you can bring them in to, you know, conversations around other people where you and your partner can have that meta conversation about how she's feeling as she's, you know, or how you're feeling and stay connected as a team, especially later in the pregnancy when things might change a little quickly, whether somebody's tired or wants to sit down or whatnot. So code words are fun, guys. Some people pick sports team jerseys. Some people pick anyone with food, cleaning products, you know, any number of things. So have fun with it. But yeah, code words are key. That's dad tip number 14.
Love it. So yeah, if you can illustrate a couple big ideas that would be most helpful to partners, a couple dad tips, and then some scary moments to share.
Sure. So you touched upon the three main kind of components that I work with. The big ideas are these foundational concepts. Like, this is something, once you kind of understand it on a deeper level, it really clarifies a lot of what the journey ahead looks like and how best to respond in any given moment. The dad tips are more specific action items like do this or don't do this. And the scary moments are just a couple times during the course of the journey where us dads need to be aware of something is really kind of important. And we might need to kind of step up or step in or pay a little bit more attention to something. So I mentioned the first big idea, instant mama, about how mothers become, you know, women become mothers as soon as they see a pregnancy test. Another one that I think is really important, especially as you get further into the pregnancy, we talked about that due date. So back to big ideas. A big idea that I think is really important in that second trimester when you're well on the way of the pregnancy journey, the morning sickness has kind of subsided down. Everybody's sort of like adjusted to this is where we're going is a concept of teamwork. Something I see with a lot of the guys out there is that teamwork is a kind of, I do this, you do that. It's sort of a divide and conquer sort of approach to things, whether we're teaming up with our friends to play, you know, basketball, you know, you stay over there and guard that guy and I'll stay over here and guard this guy. Or even if we're working on a project, a team lifting, like you turn this way, I'll turn that way. A lot of the mamas I've spoken with, their sense of teamwork is help me here with this, which is very different and equally valid. So for this, you know, this pregnancy journey, mamas and dadas work best when they work as a team, but that different idea of what teaming up looks like, I've seen cause a lot of, unnecessary, you know, glitches in that better connected relationship where the guys think they're being a great teammate by going out to the garage and kind of like sketching out a plan for the nursery or, you know, they're going to go do these things over here where, for a lot of the mamas, they really want their partner with them by their side and helping. Let's have a conversation about cribs or let's have a conversation about nursery decor together. So that teamwork idea, when you hear your partner asking you to go to the store to look at, you know, some birth registry things, what she's really asking for you is to team up and be with her on this adventure. She doesn't necessarily really need your like objective analysis of which baby monitor system might be the best one. Like that's not quite what the thought process is there. So guys out there, I always say when you're listening to your partner and you're talking about things, listen with the ear for how can I team up to be a partner with my girlfriend or with my wife or, you know, with this person rather than teaming up by going to do something else. So that's a big idea that we talk about that becomes more relevant as we get into that second trimester when you start those bigger picture planning conversations.
Right. Yeah, it's about just being together as a couple. I totally agree with that. And of course, some, you know, birthing persons, they might be more indecisive where they would really want their partner to do the research and, you know, make some decisions on the correct monitor. But most of the time it's just the company and doing it together and getting close in that way emotionally.
Yeah. And you're so right there, Kristen, that better connected is one of the main taglines of the book. It's, and like you mentioned, sometimes it is helpful to have a second opinion on, you know, whether it's the baby monitor, do we want to do a elephant theme nursery or giraffe theme nursery. It's good to have an opinion, guys. Like, you know, nobody's asking you just to show up and stand there. But at the end of the day, that sense of like, we're in this together, this is our baby, it's our adventure. That's really one of the most important parts of this whole process. That's that real helpful and support you keep hearing about. That's that feeling like we're in this together as a team on this journey. And that's the question I ask you guys to listen for underneath the specifics of which teething ring do you like better? So you may not have an opinion on the teething ring. You probably don't, as a matter of fact. But you know, entering that conversation with a sense of connection, and that's the real idea is what I recommend.
So getting into, do you have any other big ideas to share before we move on to dad tips?
One of my favorite big ideas, we're going to go to, the labor and delivery section, because this is where for a lot of guys, all of a sudden it becomes very real. Like, these aren't Braxton Hicks contractions. These are real contractions. We're going to have a baby oh my God, soon. And yeah, you see these, this sort of like flash of recognition across the guy's eyes as they realize like, it's no longer when, it's now. And oh, what do I do?
Great tip.
So if you've taken some birth classes, you may have had some great conversations with your doula. You may have read some books and you're going to hear like, oh, do this and do that. But at the end of the day, for the guys out there, I tell you the most important thing to do, and this is your new mantra, which is to be attentive to mama, be calm, and be competent. That can look a little bit different as you go through the different stages of labor and into the actual childbirth, but the plan still remains the same. Focus on mama, be present for her. What I mean by that is be attentive, ask how she's doing, offer her a cup of, you know, a sip of water, make sure your phone is put away, no video games or
yes,
social media, as tempting as that may be during some of the slower parts of the labor process. Be attentive and you're there to be her support person. You know, be calm. Sometimes there could be some, you know, challenging moments with different shift changes of your support staff or, you know, going through the transition and pushing. It can be a little bit adventurous. But, you know, dads, at the end of the day, unless you're like on the side of the highway and just you and mama, you probably have some birth professionals there with you who have very specific roles and jobs to do. And yours is to be calm and not make that any more challenging. So again, focus on mama, be attentive, be calm. And then the last part of that's be competent. And that ranges from some of the things you've learned in your birth class or from your doula about how you can apply some pressure to mama's back or shoulders, or, you know, I was kind of like, let me jump in there and help out. So I was holding a leg with one arm and holding a hand with another and wiping my, you know, my wife's brow and kind of helping some of those, that tension in the face where I could easily just sort of brush her forehead and tell her how awesome she was doing. So this is definitely a big idea where this is what you need to do. You don't need to be the OB, you don't need to be the midwife or the doula. You just need to be the dad and mama's number one support person who's there to specifically focus on her. So that's a great one I like to tell the dads, especially when they get that deer in headlights look of like, oh, this is happening now. What do I do? That's what
you do. And if you have a doula there, our job is to make partners look good. So we'll whisper in, you know, partner's ear, just different things to try out, and can show some of the, like the hip squeezes that you mentioned and physical support techniques. And I always like to find out what the dad or partner is comfortable with in their role. Is it more of the coaching? Is it hands-on support? Is it hand-holding? Or do they have fears if it's in the hospital or even at home? And how do we best support them both?
And that is so important, Chris. And that's a great segue into one of my favorite dad tips of all time, which is dad tip number 7, dude, hire a doula. I talk about in the book with my various dad tips. Most of them are sort of like recommendations or like suggestions, but this one I'm really strong on. Like, this is a definite, please do this. And it's not just for the awesomeness of support and help that doulas provide to your birth partner, but it's for us guys too. I'll share a quick anecdote about that. This is one I talk about in the book, is that our doula for our first pregnancy happened to be our Bradley birth class instructor also. So both my wife and I had a good relationship with Barb. Barb, great shout out to you once again. You're one of my favorite people on the planet these days. So Barb and I had a good relationship. We interacted over the course of a few weeks with these Bradley classes.
Yeah.
So as we get later into the pregnancy, nearing our expected arrival, I have some concerns, because the Bradley birth class, our philosophy is we wanted to go as natural as possible, as unmedicated as possible. But you know, my wife, as awesome and amazing and strong as she is, has a pretty sensitive tolerance when it comes to pain. I'd seen her stub her toe and she literally goes down like a sack of potatoes, and she's holding her toe and there's tears and there's, a very, you know, appropriate sense of this really hurt. This is how I'm going to respond.
Yeah.
But as the expectant dad, who I really want to be supportive of our plan, I was concerned that she was going to have a lot of struggle with the natural childbirth where we've, you know, heard you can really feel some pretty intense sensations. And I was internally struggling because I wanted to be 100% helpful and supportive to Jen. But at the same time, I couldn't get over this cognitive block I had about her pain tolerance, at least my perception of it. So I pulled Barb aside and I had a private conversation and I expressed my concerns to her, and she was awesome. She was like, look, David, I get it. It's a pretty common question a lot of guys have, but I've seen you and Jen up close. Jen is capable, she's strong. And more importantly, there's something for all the guys out there to know, is that going into the actual childbirth process, mamas kind of transform into a different person, into a different being. Their true like maternal power shows up, and being able to work through some of these challenging moments is something that comes a lot easier in that moment than it would be just like stubbing your toe or something like that. So Barb was able to reassure me, which was super helpful, because once I got that reassurance from Barb, I was able to drop my own concerns and fully commit to being helpful and supportive, rather than helpful and supportive, but still having this large concern. So that was just one simple conversation Barb had with me that reassured me. And there were several other times in the journey where she was a great resource for me as the dad, as well as an amazing, awesome resource for Jen during that process too. So dude, hire a doula. It's one of the best things you can do for everybody's, comfort and peace of mind and support going forward.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of dads are hesitant to hire a doula because they don't want anyone to replace their role. So I know, with our second, we hired doulas, and my husband felt like he worked so hard and we achieved a lot of our goals with the first, and he didn't want to be replaced. But after having doulas, he felt like he was able to relax more and didn't have to know all the things and look at the workbook anytime a decision had to be made from a childbirth class, and that he actually enjoyed the experience more rather than kind of feeling like he had to be the gatekeeper in ways and make important decisions. He had someone to talk it through, knowing that the decisions were still ours. But I was relying on him a lot so I could do the work of labor the first time, and he enjoyed it and was able to emotionally connect more at our second birth.
Yeah. And that is exactly, that mirrors our experience. Exactly. Like, once having that doula there allowed me to fully, step into my role as dad to be, as my wife's partner in this process. I mean, obviously, I'm standing there holding her hand and she and the baby are doing all the quote unquote work, but that's where I needed to be. That was my job. And my role was to be right there with her. There were times in the pushing where she couldn't hear what anybody else was saying. The whole room was like this blur and she could only see me and my face. And that's, again, back to that mantra of being attentive, being calm and being competent. Being able to have that doula as my wingman, to really monitor the room and monitor thing and only tell me what I need to know, it allowed me to do my job much better. And my wife was super appreciative of having the doula kind of in the background, but having me in the foreground, where I wasn't worried about what was happening in the room. I wasn't worried about watching the tone of that new nurse that came in that maybe hadn't read our birth plan yet. I wasn't tasked with doing all those different things. I could just be fully relaxed into my role, and that having that doula allowed me to do that better than if she wasn't there.
Agreed. So let's get into another dad tip before we move on to the scary moments.
Sure. One of the funnier ones, and this one, I think I'm going to stick with the labor and delivery thing, which is dad tip number 16, that your mama's water breaking is not an emergency.
Yes.
For us guys out there who, 99.9% of us have never been around somebody when their water actually broke, this vision we have is largely informed, or I should say misinformed, by all the romantic comedies we see on TV. You know, it's like somebody standing there, their water breaks, and all hell breaks loose. It's pandemonium. Right. People are running around and they're like sprinting to the car and they're weaving through traffic like a maniac. And it's like, no, please, that makes good TV, but it's the opposite of what's actually true. So again, this is on the dad tip side, like just, it's not an emergency. Obviously you want to document the time, depending on your birth plan and who and how you're planning on having birth. Some places will want to be kind of pretty closely monitoring that within that 24-hour window. You want to be kind of aware of what the water breaking situation looks like. I don't know how graphic we want to get here, but you want to look to make sure both you and mama want to be aware that there's not any sort of like excessive bleeding or anything that looks problematic, but just a normal, quote unquote, normal water breaking is not an emergency. It's a sign that you're into labor for sure at this point, based on, you know, where we want, how we want things generally to go. But again, this is a great chance right away to practice being attentive, being calm, and be competent. Running around like a chicken with your head cut off is none of those things. So, oh, okay, you know, let's mark the time. Let's sit down. How else are you feeling? How are contractions coming along or not? Let's call our doula, obviously, so we keep the doula in the loop. Some of your other birth professionals, you may want to let them know as well, or some support people. If you have a pet at home and you're planning on birthing elsewhere, you may want to give that person a heads up that the pet needs that they've agreed to kind of help you with, you may be needing them soon for that. So there's some heads up you want to give people, but definitely, guys, not an emergency. This isn't a bad episode of your favorite TV show where everybody freaks out. Just again, attentive, calm, and competent, and keep going with your birth plan.
Yeah, baby's not necessarily going to be born right away after water breaks. It can be quite some time, but you know, occasionally we'll get those where they're pushing right after the water breaks. But you're so right, David, that's not the typical situation. Good tip.
One more dad tip I like to mention here, and this is, again, right here, we're still pre-baby because the postpartum period has its own sort of, you know, it's getting a lot more focus these days, thankfully. There's a lot of things, that's where us dads kind of, quote unquote, really kind of are really brought into the journey. But prior to that, that leads into the labor and delivery, this is still back in that third trimester, is I recommend the guys to watch a few birth videos. That's dad tip number 15, birth videos. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons I think this is a good idea. Not the least of which is it's a great way to team up with your partner and sit down together and like, oh, let's watch some birth videos, especially if you have some clear ideas of kind of how you are imagining you want your birth to go and your birth plan. You can sit down and kind of, you know, search for videos that are like that, whether it's want to be a water birth or a home birth or a full hospital birth. There's ways you can search for those particular ones and get a sense of how that goes. What does that look like? What does that sound like? I kind of get a little bit more detail in the book. I want to keep it PG here on the podcast. But there's a lot of good information and experience you can get by watching these birth videos. So when you get to the real event with you and your partner, there's not as much novelty, which is inherently kind of a little bit confusing. You kind of have seen some childbirth, you kind of know what to expect and how your role can change throughout that journey. So great final dad tip to mention here is watch some birth videos, guys. That's dad tip number 15.
Great. Love it. So scary moments, or would you like to cover some postpartum and some of the ideas and dad tips before we get into the scary moments? How do we best cover that postpartum phase and being supportive?
Okay. That's a good question. I think we can kind of tie a couple of those together here. So Okay. Scary moment number four speaks to a larger kind of like cultural issue that's impacting all of us here in the U.S. with limited maternity leave, limited paternity leave. A lot of us are living away from where we grew up with our kind of our inherent community. So what's happening here in the U.S. is that postpartum depression and even now postpartum anxiety is finally being recognized as a separate but related concern, is that a lot of new families are struggling with adjusting with not having that traditional support mechanisms in place and not really being supported as strongly through their work environment. So I tell dads that, you know, this postpartum stuff is real. Like, it affects up to 20% or more of new mamas out there. And us guys, we need to be that first line of awareness. usually in your follow-up visits with a pediatrician for your new baby, there'll be a sort of informal questionnaire about how are you feeling, what's going on. But through a lot of, you know, there's a lot of reasons that mama's baby not as aware of how they're feeling any given moment. And also a little bit concerned about how honestly they want to speak about that, especially in sort of like the hurried environment of a baby visit. So sure. Us guys, we need to be that front line of defense on observing our partners, staying connected with them and helping them make these adjustments. So that's a scary moment for us guys. Like, hey, you got to take this seriously. Just be a little bit more mindful. It doesn't mean anything's wrong or anything's going to go wrong, but we need to be mindful of our job to kind of be a frontline person for our partners to depend upon, but also a frontline person to kind of observe and track how our family is adjusting to having that new baby. And one of the best things we can do to really support that positive postpartum journey is what I call lavish sisterhood and limit stuff. That's big idea number 11. And what I mean by that is by lavishing sisterhood, all of those great forms of community that are kind of our evolutionary heritage of having lots of other birthing mothers nearby, other new babies, maybe older, wiser grandmothers or aunts or respected community members. We want to do everything we can to encourage and support our partner to have as much of that as possible, whether it's some new mama meetup groups. I know a lot of doulas are now doing a lot more postpartum visits and help as well. All of that sisterhood, we want to lavish that on there. Helpful guests, not the baby tourists that want to show up and hold your baby for a few minutes to quote unquote, allow mama to get caught up. We want the helpful guests like, hey, you lay on the couch and rest with your baby. Just point, give me a few pointers of what would make you a little bit happier and let me go. I'll go run the vacuum or put away some dishes or warm up some lunch for you. Like, let me be a helper. All these helpers are what really are awesome and really great experience for all new families to have. The other side of that is the limit stuff. And what I mean by stuff is basically everything that's not that sisterhood. Like, you know, you may want to have all your friends and family come over and visit and see the new baby. They might want to come and do that, but that may not be the best plan to help mama really rest and recover and focus on her relationship with her brand new baby. Lots of quiet time is great for mamas. Lots of time where they're not worried about anything kind of in the background, whether it's, you know, all the things that go with being at home, whether, you know, you look and you see there's some dishes that have piled up or there's, you know, the laundry bin is getting more full. Like, these are all things that us guys can do our part to make sure that these things aren't sort of impeding upon mama's experience, whether objectively or just sort of in the background, you know? So these are things we want to limit. So we can jump in there. We can take care of these things. We can also just encourage mama to really focus on baby and do everything we can there. That's super important to, you know, mitigating that scary moment, but also just really helping those new bonds of new family, not just mama and baby, but also dada and mama. And that's just a new relationship you have, and dad and baby too. So
true.
Lavish sisterhood, limit stuff.
Yes. And postpartum doulas can help with all of the household tasks and newborn care. And our agency does day and overnight support, so we can come in so the couples can get rest. And, you know, we help with all types of feeding. And so that is a good idea, again, to focus on, especially with COVID, because you really need to have those code words figured out in who, not only limiting the number of guests, but who do you feel comfortable with in your home right now? And what kind of questions do you need to ask as a couple about their precautions, or are they vaccinated? And holding baby is a whole different thing than it used to be now.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true. And the more us dads can do both do what we can do to be a great asset, but also that understanding of understanding where mama is and what she feels comfortable with. These are all important things to help that teamwork and that better connection really thrive in this newfound space you're all in as a new family. I'm a terrible illustrator, Otherwise, in the book, I would have drawn a picture of, you know, a stick figure mama and a stick figure dada and a stick figure, like proportionally sized baby in between them, really small. Like, this is what you imagine your new life is going to be. And then for the second illustration, the baby would be as big as like the Michelin man, like a giant in between. Like, this is the experiential reality where this baby is not a small addition to your previous life. This baby is your new life and all of the things that that means, all those implications for time and energy and experience are important for us dads to really get behind. There's no bouncing back. We're bouncing forward. And the more us guys kind of get on that page and can be awesome teammates and partners and also fathers to our new baby, this bounce forward is where we're going. There's no going back, you know?
Right. So your life will be, you know, changed forever in many beautiful ways, but it's a change. And, you know, I love, you know, just the focus on the relationship as a couple, but also in the new roles as parents and as a family, if this is your first baby or every time you add a baby to the family, it's still a change. Or as you mentioned, sort of the traditional society is a rite of passage every time. So yeah. And then if there are twins or triplets in the mix, it's a whole, there are like multiple Michelin babies.
Exactly. That's a whole different reality.
Yeah. So getting into another scary moment.
Hey, Alyssa here. I'm just popping in to tell you about our course called Becoming. Becoming a Mother is your guide to a confident pregnancy and birth, all in a convenient 6-week online program. From birth plans to sleep training and everything in between, you'll gain the confidence and skills you need for a smooth transition to motherhood. You'll get live coaching calls with Kristen and myself, a bunch of expert videos, including chiropractic care, pelvic floor physical therapy, mental health experts, breastfeeding, and much more. You'll also get a private Facebook community with other mothers going through this at the same time as you to offer support and encouragement when you need it most. And then, of course, you'll also have direct email access to me and Kristen, in addition to the live coaching calls. If you'd like to learn more about the course, you can email us at info@goldcoastdoulas.com or check it out at thebecomingcourse.com. We'd love to see you there.
I would say stay in that labor and delivery time. Scary moment number three is that your birth plan is good, but expect the unexpected. Yes. I'm sure anybody listening to this has probably already got a birth plan sketched out with kind of how they want things to go, whether it's what kind of music they want or what kind of comfort measures, what their kind of ideal set of circumstances is. But it's important, and this is where this part falls on us guys when we're kind of tasked to be the sort of like protector and sort of room preserver as mama gets, you know, deeper into that delivery, labor and delivery process, is that the birth plan is a great idea. It's sort of like a, you know, optimal situation. And many times, you know, experiences largely follow that birth plan. And there's times where exactly what you're asking for is what's going to happen, such as, you know, the general music in the room. Nobody's going to come in and tell you, you can't have that music.
Right.
But there's always other things that may happen. And all of your birth professionals have one goal in mind. That is the safety of mama and the safety of baby. And the birth plan is workable as long as, from their professional opinion, it's not somehow impeding on that. So that's why I tell these guys, this may be a little bit of a scary moment where the birth maybe isn't proceeding exactly according to plan. And that's where having your doula and your whether midwife, OB, or whoever these other professionals are, to kind of help you understand where things may be shifting or changing. But the birth plan is not a hill that you want to like stake out and defend at all costs. The birth plan is a guide, and there may be circumstances that arise where the birth, baby has a different plan of mind, or your birth professionals do. And you need to remember that they're all focused on the ultimate goal of healthy mama and healthy baby. And that's a successful birth, not if it checked every box along your birth plan. So I call this a scary moment because it may be a little, maybe a little intense if things are changing differently than what you had wanted and what mama had, you know, very strongly communicated to you.
Right.
But you need to be able to flex and flow with the circumstances to preserve that optimal goal of healthy mama and healthy baby. So that's why it could be a little bit scary sometimes. It gets a little bit intense in there.
Yeah. And I, as you mentioned, that you had taken hypnobirthing with your second in a previous conversation that we had. And so in hypnobirthing, we like to call it a birth preference sheet versus a birth plan to be flexible. And labor is so unpredictable. And for people who really feel like they can chart it out and plan their way into it, I mean, it's up to how baby responds to labor and how the mother does. And so it's a great, you know, entree into parenthood, because we can't always plan everything, and our children, you know, things come up and we need to be flexible and adaptable. So I feel like it's a good start for new parents.
Yeah. And I think that's such a great point, Kristen, is that so much of what life throws at us is real moment to moment experiences where we have our plans that we're sort of referring to, but we have to remain flexible and adaptable to focus on those people right in front of us and what's really happening. And thankfully, I think that's where one of the bigger cultural shifts is happening is for us guys are now finally, well, I don't know if finally is the right word, but we're being more and more welcomed into the larger conversation and the larger trajectory. You know, the old stereotype of, you know, dads pacing in the waiting room with a hand pocket full of cigars ready to give out. And even being told you need to stay here. You're not allowed back here. Your job is to not be here. That's all shifted, where us guys can be brought further and further into that conversation, further into the delivery room. A lot of the guys I've talked with had the opportunity to actually be the one to quote unquote catch their baby. Yeah. And these are awesome experiences for us guys that, you know, we now have the opportunity to have. And so it's good to have our plans, but it's also good to be more focused and adapting to those people right in front of us and what we feel is going to be our best decision or action for our relationships and our family and what we want to have, with those, you know, expert opinions being helpful pieces of the bigger puzzle. So great point. Stay flexible in the moment, have your plans, but understand that reality will often have a different plan.
Yeah. And then again, if there's a doula in the room and you need guidance, asking the doula, but just having a calm face and not act, because you know that your wife partner will look at your cues. And if you're looking very stressed, she's going to be stressed. And so, yeah, being that rock and empathetic and just focusing, and as you mentioned, talking directly to her, looking at her, regardless of how the plan changes, is so important.
Yeah. And you mentioned having that doula partner there. Our second childbirth was much easier for me and for my wife because we'd been down that road before, and we had a doula, our first childbirth. So we had a different one for our second one.
Yeah.
And I was very, we both loved our doula. We trusted her 100%. So I was able to really be focused just on my wife. And we had a doula and a birth photographer who also was a doula, but she was there as a photographer, not as a doula.
Sure.
And I was able to focus on Jen and be connected with her to such a degree that after Dottie, our daughter, was born, the doulas were laughing almost, you know, they were saying that they almost felt like they were invading our space. Like,
yeah,
it was such an intimate, Jen and I had such an intimate, strong, powerful connection through that process. Because we were able to relax into that experience with having our doulas there, the doulas almost felt like, you know, it was a honeymoon, and they were like somehow got stuck in the room because it was such a charged, emotionally strong connection that Jen and I were able to have, because we were free of those worries because the doulas were there to kind of have our backs. So again, I'll circle back to dad tip number 7, dude, hire a doula. It's great for everybody concerned, for all the reasons.
Yeah. And we focus on a couple's connection first. So I love that you say that, and just remaining calm and supportive. So any other thoughts or tips that you'd like to share overall?
You know, I think I'll wrap up with just the one of the early big ideas I have for the dads is big idea number three, which is dude zone to dad zone. That is sort of that line of thinking is the backbone that runs through the whole book. And it gets even bigger once you get into the postpartum period when you have your new baby, you're quote unquote officially now a dad. And that journey has lots of little steps along the way. It's not a one-time event. And that is the goal. Like being a dad and having, you know, some of my proudest moments were when we're out at the park and I have my little baby strapped to me. We had this cool baby wearing device that allowed him to ride either on the front or the back, facing in or facing out. And like being fully in the dad zone and having my brand new baby up against my chest, walking through the farmer's market and seeing the other parents and the other dads, like the other guys with kids would like look at me and they would give me that wink like, yeah, dude, welcome to the club. That's a real thing. And those were some of my, you know, I've had some other opportunities to have some success in my life, but these moments of really being a dad and feeling like I was in it and doing it right and getting that recognition from both my wife and also just random strangers on the street, like that's real. That's the dad zone is a real place. And there's a lot of awesome experiences waiting for you guys there. So that's the goal. Dude zone to dad zone, full speed ahead.
Love it. All right, David. So thank you for sharing a lot of the bigger concepts of welcome to fatherhood. But I'd love to have you share how our listeners can connect with you and all of the social channels, what else you're up to, and then of course, how they can buy your book.
Sure. So right now I'm really focused on, you know, continuing to talk about Welcome to Fatherhood. Like I love this stuff. I am always so excited when I have an opportunity to chat with people about childbirth and childbirth education. So for right now, I'm fully in the zone for this. Welcome to Fatherhood. I have a website up that if you're curious about the book or me or want to learn a little bit more about some of the free resources I have available, you can go to www.welcometofatherhood.com. Like I said, I got great resources on there from birth plan templates to go bag lists to all kinds of cool things on there. Great educational materials as well. That's all free. Just click on the links there. I have a Facebook page, but I wouldn't say I'm active on there. It's sort of more of a, hey, this is what's going on, whether it's a new review or a podcast or something cool I discovered. I'll put that up there occasionally. So that's just Welcome to Fatherhood. You can find that on Facebook. I've been getting more requests to do some Instagram stuff and do some great Instagram live videos. So that's sort of a back burner idea, as well as putting together a virtual sort of WTF. Welcome to Fatherhood is also WTF. I didn't mention that early, but the double entendre is intentional there. There's a lot of questioning moments us guys to be have with a certain sort of inflection. And those are the kind of questions I speak most directly to. So getting an Instagram live feed for WTF will be also in a back burner.
Great.
It's available at Amazon though. There's links directly from the website, or you just, you know, go to your Amazon and go Welcome to Fatherhood. It's available in paperback and Kindle, and hopefully the audiobook's coming soon. I've done all my work on the recording of it.
Amazing.
So that'd
be so fun.
Yeah, that was fun. So that I could actually read it, you know, with the proper emphasis and whatnot, because the book has lots of bold and italics. There's a lot of like emotional emphasis communicated through fonts and whatnot, but it's hard to do that with somebody else's reading it. So I did the reading for that. It's not finished yet. So hopefully that'll be soon.
Okay. Well, keep us updated. I'd love to share it when that's out. That'll be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. A lot of guys enjoy that format of whether it's a podcast or audiobook in the car. So you're going to get the real me for the audiobook, not some paid narrator who doesn't quite understand where to put the emphasis. So it should be fun when that's ready.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, David, and look forward to, looking at some of your Instagram lives in the future, and keep us updated about a potential virtual class.
Awesome. Thanks, Kristen. I appreciate you and the rest of the Gold Coast Doulas team for inviting me on. It's been a great pleasure.
It's great to have you. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Doulas. For more information about Gold Coast Doulas, visit us on our website, goldcoastdoulas.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Thank you. Remember, these moments are golden.